You're watching the College Football Playback on the Sports Objective. If you're tuned in via our Facebook page or our YouTube channel, let us hear from you with your thoughts and comments as we take a look back at the week that was around college football. Now, here are the guys.
Welcome to the Sports Objective Podcast. This is the College Football Playback. Right here on a Sunday night. We're a little late to the party, but at least we got it out. What's going on, Bubba Rosenbaum and Dave Richmond?
What's going on, Kyle? Tremendous weekend of college football. You had four teams in the top 18 going down yesterday, and looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you see Oklahoma lose 2 weeks in a row. It's been since, what, the 99 season since they lost two in a row. Nobody saw that coming. UCF goes down to Tulsa. So much for their undefeated season. You had Texas going down to TCU. A lot of upsets yesterday. Mississippi State went down to Arkansas. Nobody saw that one coming. Big day for upsets yesterday in college football.
Yeah, let's start off. You mentioned that UCF game. So let's start off in the American. We'll obviously be talking about the East Carolina game here in a little bit on the Pirate Football Playback. So we'll move on past it for now. You had number 25 Memphis falling. SMU, Shane Buechele threw four boatload of yards, and the Mustangs were able to win a thriller yesterday in Dallas.
Yeah, back and forth all day between Memphis and SMU, similar to last year. SMU comes away with the victory. You kind of wonder if Memphis hadn't missed some time due to COVID, had they would have came away with the Vic over SMU, got a little bit better defense. But SMU made some stops yesterday when they had to, something they hadn't done a lot of. Big win for the Ponies in Dallas. And they kind of would UCF going down yesterday, them along with Cincinnati are now the front runners to win the American and be 1-2. It really doesn't matter if you win the regular season with the format now. All that matters is if you finish first or second. And, you know, nice win for SMU. I watched the very beginning of the game, then about the last 6 minutes of the game. I was sitting at Applebee's watching it on my phone. But SMU with the nice win. Like I said, puts them in the driver's seat along with the Bearcats for the title game.
Yeah, unfortunately, with Riley playing baseball yesterday, I wasn't able to see any of that game. The over-under going in was a little over 70. Didn't make it there, obviously 57 total points, but part of the reason why you had Memphis committed four turnovers and then SMU had two themselves, even though they were victorious. So six combined turnovers, but you did, and you take a look at the yardage in that game. The teams combined for over 1,200 total yards, and like I said, Shane Buechele had a tremendous day. 32 of 45, 474 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. Meanwhile, his counterpart, Brady White for Memphis, he had a heck of a day as well, but he did have two interceptions, 29 of 42 for 380 yards and three touchdowns. So, Sonny Dykes and the Ponies are now 4-0 and certainly a contender in the league.
Yeah, those wide open offenses that they're running, Bubba, kind of makes me really miss running that kind of offense with the, you know, we'll talk about the Pirates later, but I just, we'll get into that later, but it just don't make no sense.
You know, taking a look at those teams and what they have coming up, you have SMU. They have the week off next week, and then the following Friday on the 16th, they are at Tulane. So that's a game. Obviously, SMU is going to be favored, but you never know with Willie Fritz and company. If the right Green Wave Club shows up, then yep, they could make that one interesting. And then for Memphis, who was playing just its second ball game yesterday after all the cancellations and postponements with COVID, they play 2 weeks from now against number 11 UCF. And speaking of UCF,
all I need is an off week.
Yeah,
UCF can't be number 11 still after dropping to Tulsa.
And I actually have not seen the new poll. I know you and Dave have.
I don't believe they were ranked, Bubba. I think they fell out top 25.
UCF's not even ranked?
I don't believe so. I need to check, but no. I don't believe so.
Yeah. And Tulsa was a 3-touchdown underdog last night, but still a little surprised they fell all the way out of the poll. But taking a look at that game, UCF jumped on them in a hurry, and Tulsa did the same thing we did. And we committed three consecutive turnovers. You know, I couldn't believe it. And it was raining there, but still three turnovers in the first 5+ minutes, right at 6 minutes of action. But they were able to weather that storm. And I'd stepped out for a bit, and then all of a sudden I start tuning back into that game, and it's 26-25. Unfortunately, my narcolepsy kicked in, and I did not see the finish. And I woke up about 3 in the morning and realized that Tulsa won the ball game 34-26. I know you were able to take it all in, so talk about that one a little bit.
You know, I caught the fourth quarter. Tulsa came back, you know, got it in the end zone, tied, took the lead. UCF on the last drive, got the ball back with about I can't even remember how much time was left, Bubba, but they drove the ball down the field. Penalties. They lost 10 seconds on a false start penalty. What a shock. They had another penalty for maybe it was a late hit or something unsportsmanlike. Penalties killed them on the last drive. Had you done away with their penalties, they'd have probably got it in the end zone with a chance to go for two. Penalties did them in. They still got it down, you know, around the 20, and just didn't get it in the end zone. And Tulsa comes away with the victory on the road in Orlando.
And you talk about penalties killing them. Penalties killed them and turnovers killed them. They turned it over 3 times, a couple of fumbles and 1 pick. And just to be a little more specific about the penalties, 18 penalties for 124 yards. Remember, a week ago against the Pirates, UCF had 19 penalties. So
they got to get that solved. They got to stop the false start crap. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and 37 penalties in 2 weeks. I'm not sure how many. I think they had a decent number against Georgia Tech as well. So they're probably leading the nation in penalties.
Yeah.
But taking a look at what's ahead for those clubs, UCF, well, we just talked about that. They'll look to rebound on October 17th against Memphis. And then Tulsa, they'll seek to continue their momentum on the 17th as well. They also have a bye next week. But on the 17th, they will be hosting number 15, Cincinnati.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Tulsa's playing good football, looked good against Oklahoma State in the loss, and now beat UCF. So they got a chance to prove they're the real deal now against Cincinnati. It could be a hell of a story for Coach Montgomery and Tulsa if they can beat Cincy and suddenly become a favorite in the league after him being on the hot seat. And a lot of people questioned them retaining him after last year.
Yeah, have the opportunity to put together back-to-back wins over top 15 clubs. And if they are able to find a way to knock off the Bearcats on the 17th, listen to this. After that, their 3 games are at USF, East Carolina at home, and then at Navy. So they would have a very – very realistic chance at being 5-1 heading into the month of November.
No doubt.
Excuse me, November 14th against SMU.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, so it'll be interesting to watch the Golden Hurricane.
Moving on within the American, this is a game. I know you took Air Force. I actually picked Navy. I thought it would be competitive, but I did think Air Force would – like I said, and be a 1-score game because I took them in my pick'em contest with the 6.5 points, but it was all Falcons 40-7 in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I just want to settle Navy even after the second half comeback against Tulane. And I was right. They did not look good against Air Force. Air Force playing good football. And of course, Air Force is really good. You know, they won a lot of football games last year. So, you know, don't take anything away from the Falcons. And they've had a lot of time to prepare for Navy. But that was their first game of the year and came away with the Vic over Navy. And the Falcons fly on, and they won't be playing again for a few weeks.
No, they won't. And
very, very interesting helmets yesterday. Not attractive to me, but they were honored as Tuskegee Airmen, so that was pretty cool. But the helmets were weird looking.
Okay, I was expecting that you would research that because I know you were puzzled by the look.
Indeed.
Hey, do you have a comment about that in the Navy Air Force game?
Yeah, that I was way wrong. And, Kyle, you were right about being we should question Navy this year. They haven't. They obviously didn't hit, and of course Pete Medhurst told us that they finally are hitting again. But still, they're not the Navy of last year, and not the Navy that we've known in recent years. So maybe that's a temporary thing, but it could be that they're just not that good this year.
No, and I think that could be the case. I did see yesterday, though, even though they got their ass kicked, one of the prettiest tackles and hits I've seen all year, and it was by a Navy defender in the second half against Air Force. It was beautiful. It was a slobber knocker, but legal, no targeting, wrapped him up, beautiful tackle and hit. I almost rewound it and filmed it and sent it to Bubba, but I never did.
And you talk about a dominant performance, guys, in the rushing department in that game, which is obviously the main thing that took place in that game with the way those two teams play. 369-90 Air Force with the dominant performance, and Navy's leading rusher had 25 yards. Nelson Smith, the fullback, had 25 yards.
Yeah, and I think how many pass attempts did they have, Bubba? I'm wondering if now that people have seen that passing game, obviously Air Force was prepared for it.
They threw it 18 times. They were 8 out of 18 for 151 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
Yeah, Air Force is prepared for it. And, again, not everybody's going to be able to stop Navy as well as Air Force did. They had a lot of time to prepare for him. And, you know, he does a great job at Air Force, obviously. And I believe they were like a 10-win team last year.
Yeah, they had a solid year. I don't recall their exact record. But speaking of the fullback, I referenced Navy's Nelson Smith. You had Timothy Jackson for Air Force. He had 19 carries for 118 yards. And then the quarterback, Daniels, nearly had 100 as well, finishing with 96 on 10 carries for Coach Calhoun's ball club.
Yeah, what's up next for Navy?
Give me one moment. Up next for Navy, they have
Temple.
Yep, Temple and Temple's opener.
That'll be interesting. They play teams back-to-back openers for the schools. So, that'll be interesting to see. Temple's typically a physical football team. I think the city of Philadelphia has kind of put some restrictions on Temple. To be sure, though, they've been practicing physically. But that'll be interesting to see.
It's in Annapolis at 6 o'clock next Saturday night. And Air Force, and this was originally going to be one of only two games for the Falcons, but now the Mountain West decided to play football, so they have 7 more ahead. But that schedule does not begin until October 24th. So they now have a 3-week layoff until they go to San Jose State and then game two in the Mountain West. They have the challenging task of the Boise State Broncos as Boise comes to Colorado Springs.
Another interesting note on the Mountain West. I don't know, Bubba, if you can research this, we'll have it on the next episode, but I don't know if it's just the teams that are playing at Hawaii, but some Mountain West schools are being allowed to schedule non-conference games after initially it was announced it was conference only. My guess is just teams playing at Hawaii. BYU has scheduled Boise State and San Diego State for November and December.
I appreciate you bringing that up, actually. I had not heard that, but certainly good that they allow those programs to do that if they wish to do so. Rounding out things in the American yesterday at Nippert Stadium, Cincinnati definitely didn't have its A game, but they didn't need their A game as they were playing the USF Bulls. Big rebuilding job there for Coach Scott. And Cincinnati, despite turning the football over, I think at least 3 times, took down the Bulls 28-7.
And not much offense for USF. Chances are they'll get it going, though, against the Pirates next week. you need an answer to your problems, maybe we'll solve it. South Florida goes down to the Bearcats 28-7. Not much to say about that one. I was surprised, though, as we'll talk about it more on our preview for the Pirates, or our review of the Pirates a little later on. The line came out today, and South Florida is just a 3-point favorite, and in some places a 2-point favorite over East Carolina. I expected that to be about a touchdown spread.
Yeah, as did I. And as far as that Cincinnati USF game, it featured 9 turnovers. I said 3 for the Bearcats. It was actually 4, as they had lost a fumble as well. And USF threw 5 interceptions, 3 by Jordan McLeod, and then Marsh threw 2 also.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we won't figure out their offense. But we know what South Florida has coming up next. They have the Pirates. What do the Bearcats have up next?
Just one moment. The Bearcats, they are traveling to Tulsa, so they're off this week and have 2 weeks to prepare for the Golden Hurricane.
All right. You want to move next, Bubba?
Let's go to the ACC. And in the ACC yesterday, we'll start off with Clemson. Clemson, huge favorite, 4-touchdown favorite against UVA and Bronco Mendenhall's club. Played a much closer than they did in the ACC title game, but Clemson wasn't really threatened in this one. 41-23 Tigers.
Yeah, Clemson does what Clemson does. Another big win. Nobody really can seem to touch them in the ACC right now. They got the big one against the Miami Hurricanes coming weekend. Everybody's got that one circled. My guess is everybody will be fired up for it, and Clemson's going to whip their ass. But we'll see. Maybe the Hurricanes can hang with them. But they took care of business against the Wahoos, and Clemson just keeps rolling on.
They do that. And next up for Clemson next week, they have De'Eriq King and the 8th-ranked Miami Hurricanes coming to the Valley. So we'll see exactly how – not that Miami still couldn't obviously finish in a position where they could go to the ACC title game, but we'll see a lot about Miami and exactly how for real they are next weekend, obviously. And then as far as UVA, Bronco Mendenhall's club will bounce back or look to bounce back against NC State as the Wolfpack go to Charlottesville.
Be a good one.
Speaking of the Wolfpack yesterday, they won an absolute thriller at Heinz Field on taking down the 24th-ranked Panthers 30-29 with a touchdown in the final minute.
Yeah, drove the ball down the field, put it in the end zone, took lead over Pitt, and their vaunted defense. A nice pass play. NC State hit on for the lead, and I really liked their offense in week one. It disappointed me in week two, and came out and looked like it did in week one against Pitt. I don't know what happened against Virginia Tech. Now that it hurt my feelings to see the Wolfpack lose, but their offense again looked really good because that's a good Pitt defense. So I don't know. The Hokies must be really good this year. I know they managed to beat Duke last week without a bunch of players again, or this week. So. Nice win for the Wolfpack. Give credit where credit's due. And, again, I'm liking their offense.
Yeah, going against that very tough Pitt D, Ricky Person and Bam Knight only combined for 68 yards on 21 carries. But Devin Leary and that passing game that you referenced and with that final touchdown, Devin Leary finished the night or afternoon 28-44 and 336 yards, 4 touchdowns, and did not throw an interception. And after the immense struggles in Blacksburg, the Wolfpack seemingly got back on track against very tough Pitt D. Sticking in the Northeast, you had Boston College giving North Carolina and the Tar Heels were able to hang on, picking off a 2-point conversion pass in the final minute to win 26-22.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that one. Obviously, Pitt gave them all they wanted. Boston College gave them all they wanted. BC's playing pretty good football. I actually struggled with Texas State last week, but handled Duke and now almost upset the Tar Heels. So, BC up at Chestnut Hill can be a tough place to play sometimes. And they almost upset the Tar Heels. Too bad they didn't. And UNC took care of business in the end and got the Vic. And I'll be interested to watch BC the rest of the year, see what kind of season they end up with their first-year head coach.
And number 8 in the country is the Tar Heels. Now, they're that good, Kyle.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're the 8th-best team in America, but it is what it is. Time will tell. They'll get their opportunities against the likes of Miami. I don't think they play Clemson, but you know, it'll work itself out in the end. If they're that good, they'll show it. If they're not, they'll show it.
A couple things that really stood out to me about this game is, it seems weird when you think of BC, you think of running the football. They threw it 56 times yesterday and threw for 313 yards in the process. And then from North Carolina, Sam Howell had a decent day, but their ground attack, Michael Carter finished with, I think it was 121 yards on about 15 carries. So very, very impressive day for him on the ground.
Yeah, no doubt.
Moving on, Duke gave Virginia Tech, and you talked about the Hokies a moment ago and the beatdown they put on NC State a week ago. They got everything they want from David Cutcliffe and Duke, but they were able to pull it out in Durham 38-31.
And for whatever reason, Cutcliffe's teams always play Virginia Tech tough. But the Hokies, despite being down, I think, 21 players yesterday, come away with the Vic. They're 2-0 in the ACC. Everybody wants to talk about who's going to challenge Clemson. Nobody's mentioned in the Hokies. Maybe they should.
And with the Hokies quarterback, Hendon Hooker, out last week, and that was once again the case this week. And you had the bulk of the production was coming from the ground attack. Khalil Herbert ran for over 200 yards, and he's a Kansas transfer. And then as a team, the Hokies ran for over 300 yards once again.
Yeah, and that bodes well for when they get their quarterback to return. So Virginia Tech needs to be watched, man. They're pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Florida State got everything they wanted from Jacksonville State. I was hoping the Gamecocks would pull it off, but Mike Norvell's club was able to win 41-24. And speaking of Mike Norvell, I didn't get to see any of that. I was listening, but I didn't hear Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play voice for Florida State, say this during the part of the third quarter when I was tuned in on TuneIn Radio. Was Mike Norvell back on the sidelines or no?
Yeah, I believe so, Bubba. I watched a little bit of that game, I believe I saw Norvell on the sidelines. When I was watching it, Jacksonville State was up 21-7, and I was like, man, this would be crazy upset for the Jacksonville State Gamecocks if they could get it. I remember they pulled off a big upset over Ole Miss maybe a decade back, but I was anxiously watching, but unfortunately for the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State, they did not get it done. And fortunately for Florida State and for Mike Norvell, they win the football game, and maybe they can get something going down in Tallahassee. Big rebuilding job down there for Coach Norvell. We all know he can coach.
Yeah, like you said, they led by 14 on a couple of different occasions.
And for $1 million, Dave, what state is Jacksonville State in? Dave's not going to answer the question. All right, forget I asked.
But like I was saying, they had that two-touchdown lead on a couple of different occasions, but it was really that third quarter where the Seminoles outscored the Gamecocks 20-3 and that did them in.
What was the question, Kyle?
I wanted you to tell me what state Jacksonville State's in.
He was Googling it up.
It's Alabama.
You Googled that shit.
No, I didn't. You told me I was wrong. I thought it was in Florida last time, and y'all told me it was in Alabama.
All right, if you'll admit you were wrong. Okay, all right, then I'll give you credit. All right. I'm still not giving you the $1 million. All right. Go ahead, Bob.
And the only game we haven't mentioned from the ACC, Wake Forest had taken on Campbell on Friday night at BB&T Field in Winston-Salem. And as you would have expected, the Demon Deacons had no issue with Mike Minter's ball clubs, 66-14.
Yep, kind of what you'd expect.
In the Big 12, you got to start off with what took place. You could have a couple options. Let's start off with what took place in Austin with Gary Patterson's Horned Frogs winning a thriller over ninth-ranked Texas.
Bubby there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, but TCU takes care of business, upsetting Texas. Kind of maybe saw that one coming a little. Bubba and I were talking about the spread on that one, and I said, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if TCU won that outright based on their performance against Iowa State the week before. You got Doug Meacham back as OC at TCU, somebody who I was a big fan of at one point. And Doug, you know, went to Kansas as OC. Things didn't work out because I don't think anybody can win in Kansas. And then he got out of football, and now he's back, and he's the OC at TCU again, and he's got their offense rolling and upsets Texas. So congratulations to Coach Meacham and Gary Patterson's Horned Frogs.
And you mentioned Coach Meacham and the tremendous offense coordinator that he is, and the Horned Frogs ran for over 200 yards yesterday against the Longhorns. Weird day. I didn't get to see any of that game. As I was, like I mentioned earlier, at Riley's games, but I was following it very closely on my phone. And Sam Ehlinger, he had a strange day. 17 out of 36 for 236 yards, but he did throw for four touchdowns. So I'm guessing maybe they saw a lot of man coverage. That reminds me of the day that Shane Carden, he didn't have nearly the yardage that Shane Carden had against the Hokies back in 2014. But you remember Shane threw for well over 300 yards and had a lot of production that day, but less than 50% with all the man coverage the Hokies were playing.
Shane always lit up zone coverage his whole career, and he struggled against man coverage. If you can man up our defense, excuse me, if you had the talent, now it's bad man defense, but if you had a solid man defense and you could get pressure on Shane, he struggled early in his career. But his senior season, he learned how to light him up, and he did in Blacksburg, and that was a fun day.
Talking about Texas, guys, when is Texas going to ever get over the hump again? I don't think they do it with their current coach, with Tom Herman.
Who knows, Dave? I mean, they haven't been what they used to be in some time. But they, you know, I would imagine Tom will get another year after this year, no matter what. But I would imagine next year, if he doesn't get them in a Big 12 championship game, he's probably gone.
You better beat Oklahoma this week, right?
And a few minutes ago, I missed this, Johnny. When Kyle challenged Dave about Jacksonville State, he said, "Can I for a million?"
No, you cannot, Johnny.
But another team went down in the open. Kyle talked about Oklahoma falling in Ames. Iowa State, after that disappointing loss to Louisiana in week one, has bounced back with a win at TCU. And we just talked about what the Horned Frogs did. And yesterday they came from behind to take down Lincoln Riley and the Sooners, the 18th-ranked Sooners, 37-30. And that's the first time since 1999 that Oklahoma's lost consecutive regular season games.
Yeah, I wonder when was the last time they lost three in a row as they play Texas this week. Is that right? That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But did not expect Oklahoma to go to Ames and lose, but I'll tell you what's interesting. Iowa State has now beaten Oklahoma and TCU to Louisiana. What if Iowa State, you know, ends up winning the Big 12? What if Iowa State wins the Big 12 and Louisiana goes undefeated? I don't. That's an interesting conversation to have come playoff time.
Yep. And obviously that would also what happens in the other leagues. You see the Big 12 champion get left out. Yeah. But you are correct. They do play Texas next week, and that's a 12 o'clock game on Fox.
Yeah, Texas-Oklahoma, the Red River Rivalry, the Red River Shootout, whatever you want to call it. Normally the week of the State Fair in Texas. I don't know if Texas is having their State Fair or not, neither here nor there, but always a big deal. And even in a down year for both schools, that game's important and will most likely turn somebody's season around, whoever wins that game.
Talking about teams that are off to a good start, Oklahoma State struggled in its opener. Then they looked better in week two against West Virginia.
Tulsa might not be so bad after all, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't necessarily think Tulsa was bad, even though they certainly shot themselves in the foot that day against the Cowboys. I, still thought Tulsa may be pretty good, but even better than I expected with what they did. And but Oklahoma State and the 17th ranked Cowboys, 47-7, as you would have guessed, in Lawrence over the Jayhawks.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm interested to see Oklahoma State play somebody because they seem to have a good defense, which is something a lot of Big 12 schools don't have. So who do they play this week? Do you have it in front of you?
They play – they're open this week, and then their next game is on the 17th when they go to Baylor, who we'll get to what the Bears did in a
– Well, maybe eventually they'll play somebody really good, but nice start for Oklahoma State nonetheless.
Baylor yesterday, after when you just talked about the Kansas Jayhawks, the Bears had beaten the Jayhawks last week in Waco. They go to Morgantown. I think it was David Pollock maybe yesterday on game day that either you or Dave said picked West Virginia to beat Baylor in a mild upset. And Neil Brown's ball club did just that in double overtime, 27-21.
Yeah, didn't see any of that one. West Virginia needed to win that game. I just don't see how West Virginia is going to last in the Big 12 for forever. They really need to find another home. You have to wonder if the American were to ever get Power 5 status, if they'd be interested. But, you know, that'd be the only way. But nice win for the Mountaineers, and Neil Brown desperately needed that.
In Manhattan, you had K-State beating Texas Tech, who lost that heartbreaker. When they led the Longhorns by 15 in the final few minutes in Lubbock yesterday, it was Wildcats 31 and then Red Raiders 21. And that's a game when we talked about it on the Inside Slant that we really had our eye on to see how each of those ball clubs responded.
Yeah, and I think Texas Tech was down bigger than that at one point. I said I thought somebody would come out flattered and piss on a play, and it was the Red Raiders. I believe Kansas State led that game like 31. Am I right, Bubba? Didn't they lead big?
They led 14-0 at halftime, and then it was 17-7. So yeah, I mean it was 14-0 was the biggest lead.
Yeah, Texas Tech came out flat, at least on offense, and that's kind of what they're built on. So nice win for Kansas State. The follow up, the win over Oklahoma, and again after being upset by Arkansas State. Just like Iowa State, Kansas State's got it going.
And something from that game that stood out to me, K-State, if you haven't seen this guy play, Deuce Vaughn, very diminutive running back, but he's a lot of fun to watch him tote the rock, 16 carries for 113 yards. And, again, if you have not seen him play, definitely check out K-State, and you'd enjoy watching him carry the football.
The dude is loose.
He is that, and he reminds me of Darren Sproles, who played several years ago at K-State. Yep. Just from the fact that he's a smaller back, not quite as thick, I don't think, but a tremendous back nonetheless. Yep. And so moving on from the Big 12 to Conference USA, within Conference USA yesterday, right here within the state, the game was actually taking place down in Boca, but you had Charlotte losing a heartbreaker to FAU and Willie Taggart's debut.
Yeah, and I'm from Florida Atlantic, Jim Lovett, defensive coordinator. FAU took care of business over Charlotte, the defending conference champs. FAU, not Charlotte.
Yeah, so I mean, FAU 21, 49ers 17, and all 21 of the Owls' points came in the third quarter.
Yeah. Nice win by FAU.
Moving on in CUSA, you had Southern Miss and the Golden Eagles. I know Kyle and we, being fond of Southern Miss from all of our connections with East Carolina, I'm glad to see the Golden Eagles get a victory 41-31 down in Denton, Texas against North Texas Mean Green or Eagles.
Whatever
nickname you prefer.
Congratulations to Southern Miss getting their first win of the year. Nice job by their interim head coach keeping that team focused, man. He could have lost them after Tulane put 66 on them. Scotty Walden could have lost that football team. So nice job going on the road to Denton and taking care of North Texas and the Mean Green. Southern Miss was actually underdogs in that ball game, and they found a way to win it by 10 points and looked good doing it. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of start to turn things around down there, and if Scotty Walton can be the permanent head coach. I kind of thought last week after Tulane destroyed him that'd be it for him, but he's a fiery guy. The players really seem to like him. So they played hard for him. He's got a good offense. If they can just play any kind of defense, they might be all right as the season goes because they do have a decent offense. But congratulations to Southern Miss. Good to see them win. I called my two Southern Miss or my two closest Southern Miss buddies last night and asked them both. I said, "What does winning feel like, guys? It's been so long." And they confirmed it still feels pretty good. So anyway, congratulations to Southern.
Going back to Friday night, and you had BYU remaining undefeated. The 22nd ranked Cougars are now 3-0, and once again, they have not really been tested as they defeated Skip Holtz and Louisiana Tech Bulldogs 45-14 in Provo.
Yeah, I don't think Louisiana Tech particularly played bad in that game. BYU is really good. Nice win for the Broncos, and they really won't be tested. Depending on how Houston is, Houston may be pretty good. We'll see. But if not, they may not be tested until they play Boise.
Yeah, and that BYU offense, which just a couple years ago, I guess, 3 years ago now in 2017, when they were the worst offense in BYU history, and they ran for close to 200 yards, and then they had a tremendous night through the air as quarterback Josh Wilson only had two incompletions, 24-26. For well over 300 yards.
Yeah, nice job by BYU.
So I think David Blackwell, defense coordinator there in Ruston, he's working with a lot of youth on the defensive side, and I think he'll get those guys right in time. But tall task for all those young pieces to go out to Provo and slow down the Cougars. You had UAB knocking off 3-0. UTSA 21-13 in a game that was a little closer than at least you thought, Kyle. And I didn't think it would be a blowout, but I thought UAB would win by more than 8.
Yeah, UAB to me had looked really good. I don't know if it was bad weather down there or not. I'm not sure, but I thought they'd roll over UTSA, but UTSA kept it competitive. That guy's doing a pretty good job with the Roadrunners, and tough task this week as we kind of merge things together. UTSA plays at BYU.
Yep. And
or that game may actually be in San Antonio. Either way, they're going to get their asses kicked.
Double checking that. That game is in Provo against UTSA, 3:30 on ESPN2.
Yeah, beat down.
But
why would they do that? Why would they make that a 3:30 game with no late night options? Come on, ESPN, put that game on at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely think that one would be one of the late night options, so they can free
that's
it
the
up.
The only night option,
right? Well, exactly. Yeah, with no Pac-12 football yet. And this one surprised me, maybe a little how close it was, but then again, this team isn't. Extremely potent offensively, so maybe, again, not so much. But Western Kentucky defeated the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders 20-17, and that game was in Murfreesboro.
Western gets the win. I don't think neither one of those teams are very good. It's a rivalry game, so Western gets the win in the rivalry.
Continuing to or moving on to talk about a couple other independent games, because BYU is obviously one of those independents. I know Liberty was able to pick up a win yesterday over FCS foe in North Alabama.
Good for Liberty.
And Hugh Freeze and company, that they are now again 3-0 with that 28-7 win. And for Pirate fans who may not realize this, Reed Herring, I'm pretty sure, is part of that North Alabama.
Yeah, I don't think he got the start though.
Roster, but no, he didn't even play, and that's what I was just about to say, that he did not play in that ball game. And then you also had Army defeating Abilene Christian 55-23, in a game that the Black Knights did what you would expect them to do.
Yep. On through the Sun Belt.
Yep. I'm moving on to the Sun Belt. What about the Sun Belt stood out to you yesterday, Kyle?
Coastal with a big win over Arkansas State. Blew them out. Didn't see that one coming. Jamie Chadwell, obviously doing a hell of a job at Coastal. They are undefeated on the year with two big wins, one over Kansas out of the Big 12, and now a big win over Arkansas State, which was a huge program win for the Chanticleers. Look out for Coastal and Jamie Chadwell. Jamie's name will probably start coming up for some coaching searches here soon. I always thought he was a good coach back from his Charleston Southern days, and now he's got the Chanticleers rolling.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me the Coastal won, but I would have, like you're saying, it didn't. I thought it'd be a competitive ball game, but I would have never guessed that they would win by 29.
I was honestly surprised they won it all. So to win by 29, hell of a win for Coastal.
And we've mentioned his name before, Grayson McCall, their quarterback. He's actually from my neck of the woods, about 45 minutes from me, Porter Ridge High School down in Monroe, North Carolina. Grayson McCall finished the day 20 out of 29 for 322 yards, four touchdowns with one interception. So next up for the Chanticleers, they will look to remain undefeated as they travel to Louisiana next weekend. So,
yeah, not much else going on in the Sun Belt yesterday. App didn't play. Louisiana didn't play. Texas State didn't play. Monroe played somebody and lost like Monroe does. We know what happened with Georgia State. Did Georgia Southern play yesterday?
Georgia Southern did play yesterday, and Georgia Southern was a winner yesterday. Not what you would have guessed, considering they played UL Monroe, but they were victorious 35-30 over the Warhawks down in Monroe.
Okay, so Monroe decided to show up and play a ball game. Good win for Georgia Southern nonetheless. A win's a win. I sure would like one right now.
And absolutely. And we're talking about Coastal taking on Louisiana next week. That game was adjusted. They were supposed to play on the 17th, but Louisiana was going to be headed up to Boone to take on the Mountaineers, but the Mountaineers cannot play on Wednesday the 7th, so that freed up the 10th for the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, some COVID problems at App State beyond just the football team. They need to probably cancel classes up there. Anyway, we'll talk about that off the air.
And Troy and South Alabama were supposed to play yesterday, but weren't unable to do so. I'm not sure exactly when that game is rescheduled. Give me a moment, and I'll seek to confirm that.
Probably December 5th.
Yeah, it's not showing up yet. So, but you're right. That one's probably early December. Moving on to the SEC, what do you think about what took place in the SEC yesterday?
Auburn handled Georgia, dominating performance for the War Eagles. No, Jesus Christ, the other way around. Georgia handled Auburn, dominating performance for the Bulldogs.
Did you have a stroke?
I did not. I just said it backwards. Dominating performance for the Bulldogs over Auburn. Very impressive. I picked Georgia to win that one. Did not think they would dominate Auburn like they did, but Kirby Smart and his Georgia Bulldogs with Todd Monken as OC handling business over the Auburn Tigers.
Also within the conference, you had number 3 Florida, South Carolina held up a bit, but the Gators were victorious in the Swamp, 38-24.
Yeah, nice win for Florida. Of course, I guess one of the most interesting games of the day, Arkansas. I really like their staff with Odom as DC and Kendall Briles as OC as they take care of business and upset Mississippi State. So welcome to Mike Leach football. Mississippi State, you'll beat LSU and lose to Arkansas. Don't worry, you'll probably beat Alabama later this year, but then you'll lose to Vandy. It just is what it is. It's a lot of fun when you win, though. But a nice win by Arkansas. First win over an SEC opponent for Arkansas since 2017.
Yeah, and Mississippi State, like you said, put up 44 in the opener, and then just those 14 yesterday in Starkville against the Hogs, and tremendous staff really keeping an eye on what Coach Pittman has going on in Fayetteville, and be interesting to see how they continue to improve or if they continue to improve as the year goes on, because he has an excellent staff there. In that game, you had Mississippi State throwing it 60 times, and Costello completed about 80% of his passes, 75% of his passes, but no, they just weren't able to get anything in the end zone. And then you had Costello getting picked off three times, and I know at least one of those went for a touchdown.
They played zone the whole game, kept everything in front of them, wrapped up. Beautiful job of defending by Arkansas, about as well as you could do. So nicely done by the Razorbacks. Congratulations to them. They needed that for their program. And another one, Mississippi. Ole Miss traveled up to Kentucky and beat the Wildcats in overtime, where I guess Kentucky missed a PAT.
Yep, Kentucky missed a PAT, and Lane Kiffin earned his first victory as head coach of the Rebels, 42-41, like you said, in the extra period.
Yeah, nice job by Lane and Ole Miss to win at Kentucky. And that game was close like I thought it would be. And then PATs can get you in overtime. So nice job by the Rebels to get the Vic. And I guess we keep on running through the SEC, guys. Tennessee with a nice win over Missouri yesterday. I was impressed by the Vols' performance.
I was going to ask you about that one. That one, I knew that I felt like Tennessee would win, but that was a dominating performance.
Yeah, Tennessee, I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I don't know if you did, Bubba, but Tennessee looked good. And I thought, like Dave said, that they beat Missouri. I did not expect it to be that dominant.
Kind of reverting back in just a moment to that Ole Miss-UK game, something I wanted to bring up for Ole Miss, Matt Corral. He had a heck of a day throwing for over 300 yards, four touchdowns against the Wildcats, and 24 out of 29. So that's a situation to keep an eye on. John Reese Plumlee, a very talented quarterback there in Oxford, it'll be interesting to see whether he remains there as a Rebel or maybe chooses to enter the portal.
Yeah, no doubt. But either way, not nice win for the Rebels.
But getting back to the Tennessee-Mizzou game, Eli Drinkwitz now 0-2 with Missouri. It'll be interesting to see how this year goes for him. Obviously walking into a much more challenging situation than what he had last year, where he had an absolutely loaded App State team and won those 13 ball games in Boone.
Yeah, I always thought that was an interesting hire by Missouri to hire Eli that fast after just one season in Boone, where he had a team that was already built up for him by Satterfield. But Missouri has to deal with that.
Next
you know,
up.
That's what, guys, I told you that with that very thing, is that Drinkwitz is a great OC, then great job at App State. But at the same time, Missouri is not – Missouri, even though it's an SEC job, it's going to take a long time to rebuild. And will the folks of Missouri
– I don't know if it's going to take that long to rebuild. Honestly, I don't think Odom ran it into the ground. I just don't know that Drinkwitz
is the right pick.
I don't think he's ready yet to be the head coach at Missouri and compete in the SEC.
And taking a look at what they have next, and they go to Tiger Stadium to take on LSU. Speaking of LSU, they bounce back from that 10-point loss to Mississippi State with a 41-7 win in Nashville over Vandy.
Yeah, dominant performance by LSU. Did what you would expect them to do against Vanderbilt. And I'm sure the fans were a little happier in Baton Rouge tonight than they were last week.
Miles Brennan taking over the reins for Joe Burrow, and he threw for well over 300 yards and four touchdowns in the victory over the Commodores.
Yeah. I ain't too much to say about that one. LSU beat Vandy. That's like
I don't know what to say.
In the The only game within the league that we have not touched on is what took place in Tuscaloosa. It was a pretty competitive ball game in the first half, or the majority of the first half. Ended up being 35-14 at halftime, and the Tide went on to a 52-24 win over Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies.
Alabama's good. Jimbo's Jimbo. They're going to get tired of them at Texas A&M before long, too.
I was going to ask you guys, I've been waiting all day to ask you about that. Another coach that, speaking of a coach that had it made with Bobby Bowden and Bobby's program with Florida State, and then he comes in, he does win a title, but then when things didn't go his way, then he cries, he goes, looks for another job, goes to Texas A&M, and they paid him a boat. I can't remember the amount, guys, but it was a boatload of money, and I just always felt that was kind of, not that he's a bad coach, but to be getting that kind of money, and as much the expectation, as you guys know, in the state of Texas for football, particularly this particular case with college football, I just thought that was way too much money, and that, like you said, Kyle, they have to deal with it. So we don't have to. That's one problem we don't have is Jimbo Fisher. So
no, we got our own problems. I'd be interested to see how the season plays out for A&M this year and how much more patience they're going to have with Jimbo.
And another note about that Texas A&M-Alabama game, obviously one of the big storylines this year for the Tide was Tua moving on, Mac Jones taking over quarterback. He threw for 435 yards and 4 touchdowns in that victory.
Nice.
And Alabama up next for we already talked about that. They are traveling to they go to Ole Miss. Ole Miss this week, 6:00 on ESPN. So got that story, obvious storyline there.
Yeah.
With
Lane Kiffin.
The mentee against the mentor, and with Lane Kiffin against Nick Saban.
Yeah, I guess it's Bama will take care of business.
Oh, absolutely. But nonetheless, it should be fun with Saban going against Kiffin in the storylines that brings to the table.
No question. Remember, guys, when he was there at Bama a few years back, there towards the end, they didn't get along. You remember that?
Well, there was all kinds of rumors and speculations about why they didn't get along, but who knows if they're true.
Oh, I don't know about that, but
That's exactly where I was going with that, and of course when
Malta's daughter,
when Lane Kiffin has been interviewed
and
asked about that very thing, he always talks about everything that he learned and how good his experience was, as you would expect. But who knows the whole story there?
Yeah.
Taking a look at what's ahead this coming week, what have you guys had the opportunity to look at the schedule? Obviously, we'll take a close look at it on probably Saturday morning, either Friday night or Saturday morning on the Inside Sling.
I haven't dove into it too deep. I think there's a Thursday night game in the American between Houston and Tulane. I know there's a pillow fight of the week between East Carolina and South Florida. And Southern Miss takes on Florida Atlantic. Those are the games I know for sure. But in terms of the national scale, no, I need to look at the schedule.
We talked about the Red River.
Clemson, Miami, Red River shootout, Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah, those two. Yeah.
I think there's a big one in the SEC.
We had already answered our question to some extent there with the Red River rivalry or Red River shootout. I'll choose to be not politically correct. And then you talked about that Clemson-Miami game. You also, in the ACC, we talked about keeping an eye on the Hokies. The Hokies travel to Chapel Hill, and the Tar Heels are right now opened as a 5-point favorite over Justin Fuentes.
It's going to be interesting to see. If the Hokies get all their players back, I'll take the Hokies in the upset. So we need to keep an eye on that. What's going on in the SEC? Anything stand out?
You have Florida going to College Station to take on Texas A&M. You also have
Florida.
you had Tennessee going down to Georgia playing between the hedges, and Georgia Georgia Open is a 14.5-point favorite.
Okay. There's Riley in the background. What's up, Riley?
Well, it should be a fun week anyway. Always fun to have college football, and maybe a miracle will occur, and our Pirates can find a way to win.
Well, that's a nice segue, Kyle, because we're having double header here with the college football playback week 5. And just a matter of minutes, we'll have we'll look at the Pirate playback as the Pirates lose big 49-29. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, we haven't. We'll talk about that. And obviously, you can find these shows always on archived on Facebook and obviously on our YouTube channel and all our basically everywhere there's a podcast platform. We pretty much are there. So you can do that. And so you guys,
before we wrap things up, Dave, I told Riley I would show folks, and you probably can't even tell on the screen, and a pink ring that he won today. And they won both ball games, and they got this pink ring for Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October.
Nice,
that's awesome. Hey, Riley is a good relief pitcher, so if you're looking to little league pitching, you're looking to get a kid, and he has bases loaded with like one out, bring in Riley Rosenbaum. That's my pick.
Yes, he is a free agent.
Obviously, a good cause. Anytime you do anything for breast cancer awareness, and Riley will find out as he gets older that winning a pink ring is always a good thing.
Oh man, good stuff there as always, guys. Enjoyed it, and another great week of college football. Hopefully, next week will be better for the Pirates. Stay tuned for that, folks. Our double header will continue. The second show will be our playback. And we'll do that in a matter of minutes right here on the Sports Objective. We'll see you in a few minutes. Good night, everybody.